This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
National unrest rages. Good morning, I'm Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay on this Monday, June 1st. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The worst civil unrest in decades erupted across the U.S. this weekend as anger sparked by the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis police custody touched off demonstrations nationwide.
Two Atlanta police officers are fired after deploying stun guns in arrests during protests.
Already crippled by the pandemic, retailers and restaurants collectively close hundreds of locations.
And during this pandemic, we're finding that essential workers are barely making enough money to live on.
Basically, the average U.S. Income is around $39,000, but when we're talking about people in the retail industry or cashiers, they're earning somewhere between $23,000 and $27,000, which is significantly less than the average income.
Coral Murphy of USA Today will be here in about 20 minutes with that story. Protesters marched in the streets again yesterday across the U.S. to call for reforms after the death of George Floyd. Most demonstrations, some attracting hundreds of people, were peaceful, but violence, including the burning of police vehicles and looting, prompted police in some cities to deploy tear gas. In Minneapolis, a tanker truck drove into thousands of demonstrators on I-35, which had been closed to traffic. The driver, identified as Bogdan Verchurko, was pulled from the cab and beaten by protesters before being taken into custody. Governor Tim Walz.
Many of you, like me, have watched the video of the truck and the peaceful protesters. I am so incredibly thankful we had no fatalities or no injuries.
In Atlanta, two police officers were fired for using force during protests. As protesters gathered near the White House, flames were seen at the Washington, D.C. landmark that bills itself as the Church of the Presidents. The fire, apparently an act of arson, was in the basement of St. John's Church. In Manhattan, a crucial bridge was closed yesterday to make way for protesters a day after hundreds of arrests, including the mayor's daughter. This protester says she's been silent for too long.
White people need to stop being silent about our racism and complicit in the structural racist system in which we live and the white supremacy in which this country was built.
There was also looting and arrests in Seattle, Chicago, Santa Monica, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, San Diego, and Philadelphia. President Trump's national security advisor says the president will not take the dramatic step for now of seeking control of the National Guard. As protests flare across the country, the National Guard says 5,000 soldiers and airmen had been activated in 15 states in Washington, D.C., but that state and local law enforcement agencies remain responsible for security. A presidential move to federalize National Guard troops is rare, occurring about 12 times since the mid-1900s, mostly during the civil rights era of the 60s. Meanwhile, Trump announced that a left-wing group he thinks are leading the violence at anti-police brutality protests will be officially labeled as terrorists. Robert O'Brien spoke with ABC.
The president and attorney general want to know what the FBI has been doing to surveil, to disrupt, to take down Antifa, to prosecute them. This isn't the first time they're out there and they're using military-style tactics and traveling around the country to take advantage of these situations and burn down our cities, and that can't be tolerated.
Trump has railed against the left-wing agitators at other times in his presidency, referring to the group as the alt-left in 2017 following violent confrontations between white nationalists and counter-protesters in Charlottesville. The prosecution of Derek Chauvin, the fired Minneapolis police officer who held his knee to George Floyd's neck for nearly 9 minutes, resulting in his death, will be led by Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison.
We are going to bring to bear all the resources necessary to achieve justice in this case. And that means that we won't leave any resources on the sideline as we pursue justice.
The decision to put Ellison in charge of the case, announced last night by Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, came on the same day Minneapolis Police Chief Medaria Arredondo called what happened to Floyd a violation of humanity. Speaking to CNN at the site where Floyd died, Arredondo apologized to Floyd's family. He also said what he saw in video of Floyd's death was wrong and led him to quickly fire the four officers involved in the incident.
This has been so impactful for me, for this department, but for our city. But I also wanted to be in a space where people who love Mr. Floyd, I wanted to be in a space where people are talking about how do we heal and how do we move from this.
Some think the unrest in Minneapolis is far from over. Only one of the four officers involved in the incident that ended with Floyd's death have so far been charged. Minneapolis residents want charges for the other three.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay on this Monday, June 1st. They may be essential, but they're not getting paid like they're essential. Coral Murphy of USA Today has written about the pay gaps facing essential workers during the pandemic and joins us now. Coral, what types of salaries are we talking about?
Basically, the average U.S. income is around $39,000. But when we're talking about people in the retail industry or cashiers, they're earning somewhere between $23,000 and $27,000, which is significantly less than the average income.
Now, Coral, I know for your story, you talked to some of these people who are working more than one jobs just to make ends meet.
Yeah, I talked to a man from Colombia named Damien. He moved here very recently, 4 months ago, to the city of New York. And he was just imagining a completely different life. And now he's working two jobs just to make ends meet. And he actually told me that even with two jobs and even with an extra $2 that Amazon was paying in one of his jobs, he still didn't have enough to save. And he was only earning enough for the bare necessities.
And you just mentioned that $2 boost. A lot of companies early on provided a little extra money for some of their workers, and now those are slowly being phased out.
Yeah. Industries like Kroger, other supermarkets, Amazon started giving an extra $2 to their workers because it's sort of a hazard pay, just like a bonus to their workers that were going to work during the pandemic. But now, as things are beginning to stabilize in the States, they're going to go back to their regular rates. And I know places like Kroger are going to continue until mid-June, while others like Amazon are going to stop as soon as May 31st.
We're speaking with Coral Murphy of USA Today. Coral, I think we saw recently that many of the people working in meatpacking industries are immigrants. Are a lot of the people in the service either immigrants and or minorities? Are they affected differently?
Yeah, so a lot of minorities, specifically Latinos, are heavily represented in these jobs, as you mentioned, meatpacking industry and others. And the thing with this is that they are also affected in the fact that they can get infected at a much higher rate, because in these jobs, they usually crowd together and sometimes they're not provided safety gear.
Are any of them unionized?
So a lot of them are unionized, but I mean, it's kind of half and half. I spoke to a union leader and he told me that the biggest barrier, in fact, is the fact that a lot of corporations make it difficult for workers to unionize. So although there are several unions that represent these workers, we can't count that all of them are organized.
You can go pretty much anywhere in the country now and see lawn signs and other tributes to essential workers, people thanking them. Do you think any of this is going to change the way we look at some of the lower paid essential workers?
So, again, talking to some of the experts a lot of them believe that we will change the way we view essential workers. Of course, these jobs are already there, but now because of this pandemic, we really are truly seeing the value that they have. But then again, it all comes down to, you know, the U.S. government. How do we thank them? Saying thank you simply sometimes is not enough. According to some of these experts, we need to do concrete initiatives like paying them extra or helping them organize.
Coral Murphy of USA Today. It's 21 minutes after the hour. Here's Rasa Kay.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Cities in crisis coast to coast all weekend, with violent Saturday night protests giving way to a Sunday of peaceful marches in parts of some cities, while brazen daylight looting of stores went unchecked in shopping districts blocks away. Santa Monica Mayor Pro Tem Terry O'Day.
I'm proud to say that we had no loss of life and no serious injuries in our city. The property damage, however, and theft is unlike anything we have ever seen or experienced in Santa Monica.
From West Coast cities to suburban Chicago to Philadelphia, police were stretched to their limits trying to chase down people streaming in and out of broken storefronts with armloads of goods, all part of spreading unrest spilling over from the killing of George Floyd a week ago in Minneapolis police custody. Mayors of major cities have extended curfews and street closures, and several state governors declared emergencies. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz.
Over the last 2 days, Minnesota, we've clearly shown a difference between people exercising their First Amendment rights, showing passion to injustices, and trying to make their voice heard, and those that were trying to do something very different.
Demonstrators in London, Berlin, and Toronto gathered under banners declaring that Black Lives Matter and called for an end to police brutality in the United States and around the world.
Number two.
Leaders of California's two largest K-12 school districts are demanding public health authorities, not school districts, set up coronavirus testing and contact tracing of students and employees. Without more funding and assertive health department intervention, officials in L.A. and San Diego say they can't consider reopening campuses in the fall. A new report from Switzerland shows among the country's COVID-19 patients in intensive care, around 40% were under 60 years old, and a third of them had no relevant pre-existing conditions.
Number three.
Veteran astronauts Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley successfully docked to the International Space Station after 19 hours aboard the innovative new SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule. It's the first time a spacecraft designed and built by a private company using a rocket that can return part of itself to Earth has lofted humans into space. And you could see an extra fee on your bill as dental offices around the country resume services. New guidelines from the American Dental Association to prevent the spread of the coronavirus include screening patients, having them wait outside instead of in a waiting room, office staff wearing PPE, and more cleaning between patients. Many dentists are tacking a fee of about $10 onto patient visits to cover the increased costs.
Not surprising, and I think we're going to see a lot of fees in a lot of places.
Ouch.
Helping your parents with money is hard enough during normal times. It's even more so during a pandemic. Here with some tips on how to help our moms and dads, Veronica Dagger of the Wall Street Journal. Veronica, first, how do we broach the subject?
Saying something like, do you need help with your finances, may imply that you don't think that they're capable or could. This could also heighten their resistance to what you're offering. So instead, use language that implies you want to be prepared just in case something were to happen. And make things more about you and less about them. The coronavirus is good in a way because it provides some door openers to ask parents about how the pandemic has impacted their financial situation. And that can give you some insight into how and whether they're feeling anxious about their finances. So you could strike up a conversation about, say, stimulus checks or the stock market performance or how their spending habits have changed due to sheltering in place. All these can get you talking about money and make it feel a bit less awkward.
Veronica, what are some of the documents, be it paper or on computer, that you can help them with and they should gather up?
So COVID or no COVID, everyone who has assets should have power of attorney in the event that they ever become incapacitated and can't make decisions on their own. So that is the first thing that you need to have, everyone needs to have. And, you know, this can be done if they don't have one already, your parent. This can be done virtually in a place like New York State. It can be witnessed and notarized over something like Zoom. So that is a possibility for you to get going on. Some other documents you might want to have include, just a copy of their will, brokerage statements, insurance policies, healthcare proxies, car titles, all of those things you want to have just so you're prepared in case you need to help them and step in. You also want to understand their sources of income, whether that's pensions or Social Security, their investments. And again, make a list of their recurring bills. So if you know what bills are automated and what aren't with automated, you'll be able to help them budget and create a spending plan that's going to work for them if you need to do that.
We're speaking with Veronica Dagger of the Wall Street Journal. Veronica, what if some of this material feels too private to the parents that they don't want to share everything?
Yeah, that's tricky. And so I think one of the secrets here is to move gradually. So maybe not right away, you're getting power of attorney or making sure that's in place for when you need it, but maybe you start with something like bill pay, or you start with something like, oh, can I have the contact information for your financial advisor? Or you just start in these small steps. That way it doesn't seem as overwhelming to them and it feels less intrusive. Also, you're maybe taking something off their plate. It's a possibility that they will still refuse. I mean, some parents just do not want the help. And in that case, there's really nothing you can do. You need their permission to move forward. This is not something you can do unilaterally.
Thank you. Veronica Dagger of the Wall Street Journal. It's coming up on 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Let me tell you about my new favorite way to pass the time while commuting. It's the app called Blinkist. Blinkist works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and whittles it down to just 15 minutes. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading self-improvement books. I just finished listening to Snowball, a Warren Buffett biography. Listen to Blinkist while commuting or maybe exercising, even while you're waiting for your kids to finish practice. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read. I also like listening to some of the history titles since I never had much good history in school. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning.
Now, more than ever, where you get your news matters. Start your day with the facts. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
On this Monday, June 1st, Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Ross Akay. Some of our top stories and headlines. Unrest rages across the country as police and protesters clash. Other protests were peaceful. Crowded protests over the weekend sparked concerns about fresh outbreaks of the deadly coronavirus. Astronauts disembark SpaceX ship and board the space station. The Major League Baseball Players Association proposes a 114-game season with no additional pay cuts. And yes, police and protesters can come together. That story in about 20 minutes. As the government rolls out measures to help the unemployed, pay disparities are in the spotlight. This morning's Gordon Deal has the story.
We're speaking with Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. His piece is called Two-Thirds of Laid-Off Workers May Temporarily Be Receiving More Money in Unemployment Benefits Than They Did From Their Jobs. So this has been out there for a little while, I guess, since the legislation was passed, but some of these numbers are staggering. Explain what we're learning here.
What University of Chicago researchers did is they used an employment benefits calculator that they made, and they also triangulated with census data on salaries, and they figured out that people would, as you said, be getting paid a lot more. Well, the median number would be a lot more. In fact, it was they'd be repaid 134% of lost wages. So they'd be made whole and then some, the median. That's the median replacement rate. And that varies state to state. That varies profession to profession. You know, it's, an interesting data point in what's become a real hot button issue.
Yeah. And the key word in all this, temporary.
These benefits, the $600 on top of whatever else your state will provide. It expires in July. And another thing is there have been lots of reports of people not getting this money between bureaucracy and delays, and you call and you can't get to a human at your State Department of Labor, all these things. So those are other factors going on here.
Yeah. All right. So the fixes to this, if say lawmakers wanted to try to tackle it, seem complicated.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one of the things, I mean, and that's a debate right now. The HEROES Act, which was the $3 trillion bill that passed in the House, which doesn't look like it has any chance in the Senate, would have extended the unemployment benefits through January of the upcoming year. And, you know, I'm not quite sure exactly what Republicans want, but I think their worry is that this is a barrier to work. You know, why should I be looking for work when I can be making more money on unemployment?
I'm speaking with Andy Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. He's got a story entitled, Two-Thirds of Laid-Off Workers May Temporarily Be Receiving More Money in Unemployment Benefits Than They Did From Their Jobs. All right, so this only lasts till, what, July, unless Congress comes up with new legislation?
That's right, until the end of July. That's when this will end. I'm not so well versed in all of the ins and outs of the stimulus bill. To my recollection, there is an additional extra provisions for other certain limited circumstances of other payments, but yes, July, the end of July is the real end date. And it's at this point, I think the lion's share of all the stimulus checks have gone out to everyone. So it's like, you know, the real surge of money to, you know, everyone has come and is just about ending at this point.
Yeah. Boy, one of the staggering stats too, 40% of all jobs earning $40,000 or less are gone, or at least temporarily gone, right?
Yeah, and that's, you know, and that actually, that was something that Jay Powell mentioned, I think, a little earlier this month. And as you said, it's just astonishing. To think that in a matter of a month, everything, 40% of those jobs evaporated. And so this is money that, you know, people were blindsided by, you know, kind of the you know, how seriously this, you know, cut into the economy. And so, I mean, this is money that people probably really needed, because who saw the coronavirus coming at this strength and this ferocity?
There is evidence, at least anecdotally, that the people are using this money to pay bills, right? That, I mean, it's desperately needed.
That's right. You know, that's another thing. I mean, another part of the debate is, like, you know, I guess wondering whether it's just, you know, spending cash to, you know, have fun, or not have fun, but if it's just kind of for frivolous things or whatever. But no, a lot of the studies suggest that, I mean, certainly, you know, with stimulus checks, there have been surveys and studies, and everything is saying that people are using this for necessities and to keep roofs over their head and to keep food on the table. Not to go out and, spruce up, and get a new car or something like that. So it sounds like this is money that a lot of folks really need really badly, which, again, goes back to the 40% of jobs that were around in 1 month in February are gone in March.
That's Andrew Keschner of MarketWatch with this morning's Gordon Deal. It's 19 minutes before the hour. Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Ross Akay. It's time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, you know, we aim to try and find the lighter side of life during this segment. We'll do our best to do that today. We first take you to the Netherlands, where if you decide to head out for a bite to eat, you may be greeted by a robot. A restaurant in the country will employ two robotic waiters when it reopens for business today, though it remains unclear if diners are expected to tip. Dutch restaurants have been closed for over 2 months amid the coronavirus pandemic, and the new staffers arrived just in time for the Royal Palace's grand reopening today. The two shiny white and red robots will say hello and welcome upon greeting customers, and will be tasked with some other duties like serving food and drinks, returning used tableware for cleaning, and enforcing social distancing. And for those worried that the bots will be taking the jobs of humans, the restaurant insists that's not the case, and that it's very difficult to find waitstaff in their rural location. They also say that the robots will free up the human employees for greater customer engagement.
I'm not sure about that. I hope they stay out of the way.
Yeah, yes.
Because it's Stop and Shop. They have those robots that go around looking for spills.
Right.
They're always in the way. I don't know if you've seen them in your store.
Yeah, we don't have them in mine, but I've heard about them.
They're so annoying. They're like in your way. Every move you make, they're right in front of you, and you're like trying to get away. Marty, I think their names are.
So what do you do? Can you move them out of your way?
No. Like, I'm scared it's gonna come at me and run over my feet. So I like make the widest circle I possibly can, but yeah. I don't see them cleaning things up. Yeah. They're just rolling around, getting in the way with their beady eyes.
Going to the supermarket is stressful enough right
now. Exactly.
That's the last thing we
need. Don't need to worry about robots.
Yes.
Yeah.
And imagine, Jen, you're a family who are super excited to finally get out of the house and enjoy some fresh air, only to find out that your kids may have forgotten how to play outside. That's what one mortified mom in England says happened when her four-year-old son somehow got himself stuck inside of a tree. Mom posted photos of her son stuck inside the hollow tree with only his head and one arm showing. The mom, who says she has back problems, was then forced to summon the help of a man who was in the park to free the boy from Mother Nature's trap, which he quickly did, thankfully. The family was out and about for the first time after spending 9 weeks in pandemic isolation.
This is what happens.
they don't know how to play in nature, but they don't really even know how to play with each other. When the time comes when kids are going to start to play with each other, they're not even going to know what to do.
And a lot of bike riding is probably lost along the way, too.
They'll be sitting there on laptops just talking to each other across from each other.
Jeez. Thanks, Mike.
Even in tough times, you want to try to look your best, even if it's just from the waist up for those video chats. So when it comes to your facial hair, Harry's has you covered, bringing you incredibly high-quality blades at factory direct prices, just $2 per blade. Now, when it comes to my facial hair, I'm typically a goatee guy, but lately I've been using these times of home quarantine to experiment with a full beard. This has allowed the precision trimmer blade on my Harry's razor to take center stage. I use it to make sure my new beard is looking its best. Now you can keep your face looking smooth too, or your beard looking clean, with a Harry's trial set delivered right to your doorstep. Just go to harrys.com/Gordon to order yours. And get this, to help support those who need it the most right now, Harry's is donating $1 million worth of shaving supplies to hospitals across the U.S. so you can feel good about looking good. Listeners of our show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/Gordon. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/Gordon to start shaving better today.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Rossa Kay. Well, it wasn't all bad news this weekend. Volunteers turned out in droves in many cities and towns to help clean up following sometimes violent protests. In downtown Reno, Nevada, at least 3,000 people went out to help repair the city yesterday, more than the number of people who protested the day before. Some swept up glass from the sidewalks and scrubbed graffiti off the Virginia Street Bridge, which was especially hard hit by vandalism. In San Antonio, Spurs player Lonnie Walker was among the volunteers cleaning up downtown. He handed out water bottles and joined efforts to remove graffiti from the side of a building. In Houston, truck driver Brian Irving was seen power washing a federal building early Saturday morning. Similar cleanup efforts were reported over the weekend in Seattle, Chicago, Nashville, Raleigh, Los Angeles, Cincinnati, and Minneapolis. It's 9 minutes before the hour. Here's Rossa Kay.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Sunday was a day to assess the damage. While more mischief ensued, anger and vandalism erupted after peaceful demonstrations Saturday as outrage over the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis police custody boiled over and chaos continued as unchecked daylight looting sprees Sunday. At least 13 states and the District of Columbia have activated the National Guard to respond to the unrest. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on ABC's This Week.
I do think that there's a place for protest at the sign of a knee going into the neck of a person who's not offering resistance, or even if he were, a disproportionate response from the police. When you have a crowd, you will have those who will disrupt, and that is most unfortunate.
Number two.
President Trump tweeted that the United States would be classifying the loose-knit Antifa movement as a terrorist group after blaming it for some of the weekend protest violence. The president and some advisors have blamed Antifa and groups they call far-left extremists for hijacking the peaceful demonstrations. National Security Chief Robert O'Brien on ABC's This Week.
We stand with the protesters. It's the violent Antifa radical militants that are coming out under cover of night, traveling across state lines, using military-style tactics to burn down our cities. And they're especially targeting the most vulnerable parts of our cities.
Number three.
The United States, Britain, Italy, and France lead the world in coronavirus deaths. Brazil now number five and closing in on the fourth spot. Brazil is second in the number of confirmed cases, though experts believe that number could be 15 times higher because there's been no widespread testing. The U.S. has sent Brazil more than 2 million doses of hydroxychloroquine, a malaria drug touted by President Trump as potentially protecting against and treating coronavirus, though scientific evidence hasn't backed that up. NASA astronauts Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley have begun their extended stay on board the International Space Station that could last up to 4 months. They join three crewmates already living on board after arriving on the SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule that showed off its automated docking system yesterday. Now that China's rubber snap legislature approved a proposal for sweeping new laws punishing subversion, secession, terrorism, and foreign interference in Hong Kong, Secretary of State Michael Pompeo says the U.S. now has no basis to treat Hong Kong more favorably than mainland China. And Vintro launches today. It's a platform by a Chicago, London-based company, and it's a virtual shark tank that'll give entrepreneurs and ventures access to potential investors and industry experience.
Thanks, Sarasik.
For the ones we trust to always be there. For the ones caring for others. For the ones who keep things going, no matter where they are. In extraordinary times, extraordinary people step up, like the ones standing guard and standing on the front lines. And the ones who are staying apart while still working together. With your efforts, we will get through this. We're grateful for all you do. Visit Grainger.com for resources that can help as you create your recovery plan. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Well, many of the protests this weekend were violent. Many, many others were not. In New York, police kneeled with demonstrators, dramatically joining the protesters. In Houston, Police Chief Art Acevedo said George Floyd's death should be condemned by all in law enforcement and our extended community. He added that his death serves as a stark reminder that when bad policing happens, it disproportionately impacts communities of color and poor communities. The police chief joined a march on Saturday. When protesters arrived Saturday at the police station in Flint Township, Michigan, Chris Swanson, the sheriff of Genesee County, took off his helmet, laid down his baton, and addressed the crowd. He told them he wanted to make this a parade, not a protest. You just tell me what you need to do. And the crowd started chanting, "Walk with us," whereupon Swanson said, "Let's walk," and joined the march. As hundreds of people gathered Saturday in Santa Cruz along the central coast of California, Police Chief Andy Mills joined Mayor Justin Cummings in taking a knee. In Coral Gables, Florida, police chiefs from across Miami-Dade County knelt in prayer with protesters on Saturday, and police and protesters locked arms yesterday afternoon near police headquarters in Bellevue, Nebraska. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Jennifer Kishinka. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.